Today, the horses are spooked. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, working the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, overnight, of course, the US market had a significant fall triggered by the 2-year, 10-year yield curve inversion. And more recently in Australia, shares also fell nearly 3%. So today, I want to do a few things. Let me just show you some of the charts so that you can get up to speed with what happened. And then I want to touch on some of the other data which is informing what's going on. And then I want to try and draw some conclusions as to how serious this correction is and what it might mean. And it's interesting that today, Guy Debelle, Deputy Governor, was talking the situation way down, saying that the inverted yield curve has very little to do with anything these days and is not a very good indicator of stresses and strains in the financial system. Well, I don't know about you, but the credibility of the Reserve Bank is running extremely thin, bearing in mind that they thought rates were going to be a lot higher and bearing in mind that wages growth was expected to be stronger now than it is. So I'm not sure how credible they are, but let's look at the data and see where we go from there. So I'm going to start looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which fell 3.05% yesterday. And that's a considerable fall. Now, okay, it's run up a long way from where it was previously, but nevertheless, that is a very significant correction. It's also worth noting that the volatility index also moved significantly higher. And of course, the volatility index is known as the fear index for that very same reason, that it tends to signal discomfort and uncertainty in the marketplace. The 10-year Treasury bond ended up at 1.591, whilst the 3-month was at 1.949. So you can see that that pair has been inverted for some time. And in fact, we've been talking about this inversion for several months. But the significant this time was the inversion of the 2-year, 10-year rate. And for some reason, that spooked the horses. And in fact, it's also worth noting that it wobbled back into positive territory just a little bit later. But nevertheless, the damage was done. And I think you have to look beyond just that specific inversion event. You've got to look at the bad news coming out of China. You've got to look at the bad news coming out of Germany. And I think it also now highlights the fact that the US Fed probably has understated the risks in the US as well. And I just want to highlight the fact that the Bitcoin US dollar cross is now off. It's down to 9930. And that fell around 6%. So whilst gold may seem to be a safe haven at 1523, Bitcoin much less so. So now let's look at the ASX 100, which closed down 2.83 at 5,304. And that was a considerable fall. And in fact, what happened through the day was that there was an immediate drop on opening at about 1.8%. And it wobbled around there for a bit and then fell again later. And the trigger for the local move down was, in fact, the employment data. The employment data came out probably slightly okay-ish, except that the trend rate moved up to 5.3%. But it signals that the Reserve Bank's expectation of a 4.5% unemployment rate is just in fairyland at the moment. Now, once that came out, the US dollar moved a little higher, but ended up at 67.79. And I think international investors now are getting quite twitchy about the Australian economy, partly because, of course, our reliance on China is so strong, and partly because if recession in the US really flows through, that's going to impact the cost of funds into Australia, and our $1 trillion of debt is going to be a real nightmare to handle. I'll also just highlight the fact that the S&P ASX Financials Index was down 2.96%, so it pretty much mirrored the overall index, to 6,014. And the local volatility index shot up, believe it or not, 29.1% to 19,605. And of course, the volatility index signals concerns about the future. Pretty much all the banks took a bath. ANZ was down 2.96% to 26.23. CBA was down 2.99% to 74.34. NAB was down 3.07% to 26.80. And Westpac was down 3.19% to 27.61. And the regionals were also affected, with Bank of Queensland down 2.53% to 8.85. Bendigo and Adelaide Bank was down 2.76% to 10.50. Suncorp was down 2.17% to 13.09. And Macquarie, which of course has significant exposures overseas and in investment banking, was down a further 3.26% to end at 118. And they have dropped considerably over the last couple of months as the market uncertainty continues to build. And then the little battler, AMP, was down another 3.69% today to 182. Elibrick Road was down 1.45% to 6.8 cents. But insurer Genworth was up 2.48% to 2.89, having retreated from a considerable higher number quite recently. The Aussie Gold Cross was up 1.02% to 2,233.38. And the Bitcoin Aussie Cross was down 6.41% to 14,680. So now let's look in more detail at what I've called the employment gap. Because Australia's trend unemployment rate increased in July to 5.3% from 5.2% in June, according to the latest information released by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. The trend participation rate increased further to 66.1%, and in July 2019, trend monthly employment increased by around 24,600 persons, and full-time employment increased by 15,100 persons, and part-time employment increased by 9,600 persons. Over the past year, trend employment increased by 339,200 persons, or 2.7%, which is above the annual average growth over the past 20 years, which is around 2%. The trend monthly hours worked increased by less than 0.1% in July, and by 1.8% over the past year, and this was slightly above the 20-year average year-on-year growth of 1.7%. The trend monthly underemployment rate remained steady at 8.4% in July, with no changes over the past year, and the trend underutilization rate decreased by 0.1 percentage points over the year. Underemployment lifted in both New South Wales and Victoria from 7.5 to 7.9, and from 7.9 to 8.5% respectively, while it fell in Queensland and Western Australia from 8.6 to 8.5% and from 9.6 to 9.4% respectively. And we note how high underemployment is in Victoria compared to unemployment. Unemployment is well below the national average, 4.8 versus 5.2 nationally, whereas the underemployment rate of 8.5% is higher than the national average of 8.2%. The trend unemployment rate remained steady in most states and territories except for South Australia, where it was up 0.2 percentage points, and Queensland and Northern Territory, when it was up 0.1 percentage points. And over the year, unemployment rates fell in New South Wales, Victoria, Western Australia, and the Australian Capital Territory, and increased in Queensland, South Australia, Tasmania, and the Northern Territory. At 5.3%, it's hard to see unemployment getting below 5% anytime soon, let alone getting down to the RBA's, quote, natural rate, unquote, of 4.5%. In fact, in the past year, the largest share of employment gains have been for full-time females. Male full-time employment has grown slower than total employment, suggesting employment gains remained focused in the services industries that are rich in female employment. So now let me try and put some of this into a slightly broader context, just to finish this post. The first thing to say is that the 2-year, 10-year yield curve inversion is just yet another indicator of more trouble ahead. And in fact, many economists around the world have been saying for some time that next year is likely to be the year when the US does go into recession. Now, the Fed, of course, will resist it, but the force of destiny seems to be pushing us into that recession in the US. And in a way, it's part of the outworking of the tax incentives that were put through earlier, the very high debt levels, and the fact that the trade wars are continuing to take skin off the knees of both the US and China. Now, the question, of course, is if there is a recession in the US, how does that play out more broadly around the world? And if that was the only factor on the horizon, it seems to me that we might get away with it. But when there are so many other negative factors in play, and I'm thinking trade wars, of course, with China, I'm thinking of Brexit, I'm thinking of the very weak German economy, more broadly weakness in Europe, as well as, of course, the issues here locally in Australia and in other economies around the world, overall growth is definitely going to decline further. And I think we're now getting to the point where monetary policy is running out of smoke. Yes, they'll cut rates. Yes, they'll do unnatural acts to try and turn the ship around. But to my mind, that is just way too little, too late. And in any case, they still haven't solved the underlying issue from 10 to 12 years ago when the GFC created the problem the first time around. It's just that now we've got more debt. And in fact, John Adams and I discussed this whole situation this morning on the Interests of the People channel. And you can watch our report, which discussed why it is that Australia is one step closer to Armageddon now. So I think the bottom line is this. We shouldn't be too panicked into what's going on, because essentially these inversions in the yield curves have been around for some time. And the fact that the 2-10 inverted is just one more factor in the equation. Nevertheless, this has got the attention of the media, and of course the media has been hyping it up and the markets have reacted very negatively. My expectation is that we will see some bouncing back over the next few days, but I think we're in for yet more volatility ahead, and that volatility is going to take us definitely to the downside. And I still think it's very likely that we're going to end up with a severe recession globally over the next 18 months to 2 years. And of course that's important, because if that does play out as I expect, this will have a significant negative impact on home prices locally. And whilst there's been a little bit of better news possibly more recently around home prices in some places, it's really very marginal. And we cannot, of course, face into the wind of the global recession and expect home prices to stay anything close to where they are. They will fall further. And I'll be discussing those scenarios in more detail next Tuesday when I do my live stream, Tuesday the 20th, 8 p.m. Sydney time. So do join me for that. And so just to close this out, uncertainty is stalking the halls. I don't expect the markets to calm down anytime soon. There is going to be more volatility, but that volatility is going to be weighted to the downside, because all of the leading indicators are pointing pretty much in the same direction, except if you believe the RBA, who thinks that everything in the garden is still wonderful. But I have to say, on their track record, I'm not sure that I would bet on them relative to the markets around the world. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.